The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We know this is a difficult and trying time for everyone right now, but we are deep thankful. Thankful that we have the ability to be together through media, but also, more importantly, through the Spirit of God. And we're thankful for everyone who's joined in. I was noticing on the Facebook feed that many people have already joined in us, and so you're watching pretty much live right now. For some of you, you'll be watching a delayed broadcast here in a few moments. As soon as we conclude the recording, and we can upstream it through our YouTube channel. So we're thankful for that. So this morning, I'd like for us to spend some time in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. So if you have your Bibles, I hope you've got them there with you, and you'll get them out and spend some time this morning in the Word of God in Isaiah chapter 40. So there are several things that we maybe need to do to put in context what Isaiah is doing here. He is speaking about a future time to the children of Israel, in which God was going to allow them to be taken into exile. And even at the time of the writing of this book, he is really writing to a future people. And so he's giving God's guidance and governance in it. And we recognize that over a period of three different waves in 605 B.C., 597 B.C., and 586 B.C., that children of Israel were taken into captivity. Judah and Israel were taken into captivity, Babylonian captivity, and would remain there for 70 years. But when Isaiah is writing this, he's telling them about the future event when this was going to be happening. And so he's trying to tell them in the future what's going to happen. So this is really important, I think, as we begin looking at this text, that even coming down to us, we recognize that this was important to Isaiah's contemporary, but it's also important to the following generations. And we see this very text again as referenced again when John the Baptist comes along, and then when Jesus and his mission comes along. And so we see that this is an important text that speaks even to us today. So I've got three words hopefully you're going to take away today. And the first one begins in chapter 40, verse 1. And he says to them to comfort. Yes, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. And so he's really talking, Isaiah is talking not just to anyone who will hear, but specifically those who will hear his message. For them to take out the message, not only is God speaking comfort to Isaiah, but he's telling Isaiah is telling his followers to take the ideal of comfort forth to them and share this message to the people. In trying and difficult times, God's people have the authority of Scripture to speak into those times. And this is a difficult time for many of us, and it's challenging. But if you've talked to people who have a few more years on us than some of us do, they can tell you there's been challenging times many times in the past. And people have stepped up to the situation and did what was necessary. And so that's what we're attempting to do as we reach out to you this morning, is to do what's necessary at this moment in time. But this doesn't weaken the church. In fact, in some ways, it strengthens the church, because we can reach out to each other and bring comfort. That we are in a unique position as the people of God because of his revelation to us and through his word that we can speak comfort to people. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of concerns, and we see that. But we recognize as the people of God that we have something that we can share with them. And so Isaiah goes forward in this and tells them that they can rely upon God's comfort. And he talks about this because he talks about who God is. And so he really lays out, continuing the reading, in verse 2, that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Verse 3 sounds very familiar to us because it's referenced again in the New Testament in reference to John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low, and the crooked places should be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so Isaiah is telling the people to go forth, those who will herald and those who will share this great news of God's forgiveness and God's deliverance and God's perseverance should go forth and really go out into all the world, and God will make a way and path of doing this. As I read the text this morning, he talks about all these obstacles that might get in the way of this good message. The hills and the valleys and the crooked roads. And he says God will make a way in which things can be made smooth and straight and easy. I don't know that Isaiah had the same revelation that we have today in recognizing that we can, through technology and means, go over mountains. We can go straight into your homes. We can carry the message of the gospel in ways that maybe Isaiah even couldn't understand, but we can carry this word of comfort and hope through what we have today. That everything that would have been an obstacle for them is no longer there, as it's been removed for us today. So he goes on in verse 6, he says, and he said, cry out, and he said, what shall I cry? He says, tell him this, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Do not be afraid, says the cities of Judah. Behold, your God. Reading on in verse 10, behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and will carry them in his bosom, and he gently leads those who are with the young. Isaiah moves into this piece of talking about who God is and how we can have faith and trust in who God is, not only because he's the creator of all things, but because he is our shepherd. He's the one who would carry us. He's the one who would deliver us in any issue, in any circumstances in life that we have, that God is there for us. Paul said in the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? And so he goes on and describes this God that we can have faith in is because this is the God of creation. And in verse 12, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in the scales and his hills in a balance? He who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him, with whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and who taught him the path of justice, who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he who lifts up the isles is a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith counts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such to contribute, chooses a tree that will not rot, for he seeks himself a skilled workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will blow them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. And in this big section of the book, Isaiah is asking the people of God to understand who God is, that we can put our faith and trust in Him because He is the creator of all things, and no one possesses the knowledge of God. No one can be God's advisor, and only God alone knows. And so as we move forward in faith in difficult times, we understand that God alone is the one to put faith in, that God alone is the one that we can turn to. And he says that whatever man's accomplished to do will very often come to naught because unless God chooses to bless it. That God is himself sovereign and in control. That's a challenge for many people to put their faith and trust in God. But for people of faith, they understand that everything they have in life is through the blessings of God and by his hands and by his sovereigns. And by his grace. And the greatest gift we've ever received is that of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of this relationship, we can put our faith and trust. When he speaks to the people, he tells them to give comfort and to tell others to prepare a way for people to come to know God. And he talks about the likelihood of one nation being more powerful than the other. And he says, no, they're really nothing in the sight of God. But it's as if he's accomplished through giving this oracle to the people of God the strength and the ability to speak to people in a difficult and troubled time. Now, Isaiah was looking to the exile. And then when John comes along and tells them to prepare a way because the King of Righteousness was come, his kingdom be established. And we here today are here as part of that kingdom that God has blessed us to be portioned with. And even though we may not physically gather at this point in time, that we can always be assured, as Jesus said, whether it be two or three together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It has no borders. It has no limits. That we can carry this message into all the earth. We are called to comfort the people. And the comfort that we can deliver to people is our faith in God. And beginning in verse 18 and 20, he says that really no one is comparable to God. And in fact, in verse 18, he says, to whom you will liken God, or what likeness will you compare him to? And he talks about the workman that molds an image and the goldsmith that does. He says, there's no one like God, and you can't create an image that even reflects God's glory. And so we look at the text and we understand that God alone is in control of creation. That's what he points out in verses 21 through 26. And he says that God alone is in charge. In verse 25, he says, to whom then will you liken me, or whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. And so he really is giving this message that we need to put our faith and trust in him, because there's no one who's more powerful than God. There's no one who is unseen to him and unknown to him. In their exile, the children of Israel had to wait for a long time for deliverance, for 70 years. And for many of us, dispositionally, waiting is a hard thing. It's difficult. I know for me, it's always been a thing I have difficult time doing. I don't even like to wait for a table when you used to go out to eat. But the reality is that this is the last word I'm going to leave with you, is that this word, wait. It was shared earlier, you know, my sister Lori, that, you know, more or less she thinks that, and I agree with her, that she thinks that we're going to have to do a lot of waiting. And what we know today, we may know something different tomorrow, and we may be reacting different to that. And I know waiting is a hard, hard thing. But as people of God, we've been called to wait from the very beginning, to wait on the Lord. Even the psalmist says for us to be still and know God. And so this last passage that we're going to look at this morning from the book of Isaiah is one, I think, that maybe speaks to us in a way that can allow us to have hope. So beginning of verse 27, for why do you speak, O Jacob? What do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This passage is a meaningful passage to many people, but this is the promise that God made to Isaiah. That Isaiah said to the people who would listen, to take this comfort out and tell the people of Jerusalem, tell the people of Israel, tell the people of Judah, to tell them that they can put their faith and trust in God because he's the creator and controller of all things. And then moving forward, we can understand that while we may not see what we want to see immediately from God, that when we wait on the Lord, he gives us what we need in the time that we need it. We intend here at Netherland to continue to be church. And we're going to ask each of us to step up and reach out to each other in very unique ways. You each have a church calendar. What we encourage you to do is get in that church calendar, open it up, and begin thinking about people who may have some isolation or some need right now. And each of us sort of reach out to people. If people get 2 or 3 phone calls a day, that's not a bad thing. So just continue to do that, to reach out to each other. We'll be communicating to you through various means to let you know how we continue to try to reach out to be church and to encourage and support one another. And as we've studied this morning from the book of Isaiah, for us to be the people in this world speaking on behalf of God, to bring comfort to those, to not buy into panic, to put our faith and trust in God. We are to listen and be smart in what we do, and we encourage everyone to do that. We have opened up the prayer line. If there are requests, if you're on the prayer line, you can text those to that number, and we'll make those known. In just a few moments, we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and if you have emblems at home, we encourage you to begin getting those together. I think Brother Jeffrey's going to lead us another song right now, so you maybe get those emblems together, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper together as you have abilities to. So, Brother Jeffrey.